You're listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
Because he's an awesome God. He's an all-powerful God. He is the Father. He is the one and only God. Remain standing. Psalm 119 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me into your ways. Establish your word to your servants, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive in me your righteousness." Father, it's in your precious name this morning that we just give you glory. And we give you honor because you are an all-powerful, almighty, and all-wonderful kind of God. God, we pray that you will break yokes this morning, oh God. That you will open doors, oh God, that have been closed for your people, God. God, we lift up your name to the holy heavens this morning, oh God. And we praise your holy name. God, I pray for a yielded spirit this morning. That all minds, hearts, and souls be focused on you, oh God, so that you can have all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, for you are a righteous God. But God, we love you, and we just honor you this morning. For this we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings 3:16. Up until this point, Solomon is the king. He's the newly anointed king, which means Solomon now has to make decisions and he needs to make judgments. And it's at this time that God petitions him and says, "Well, what is it that I can give you? What is it that you desire?" And Solomon simply says, "I need wisdom." Because Solomon understood that if he had wisdom, that he could judge the people the right way. You know, we need wisdom in our lives sometimes. Because that is what helps us make the decisions that we need to make. So Solomon learns to do that. And that brings us to 1 Kings 3:16. "Now two women were harlots, came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, 'Oh, my Lord, this woman,'" say "this woman, "and I dwell in the same house. And I gave birth while she was in the house. And then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman," say "this woman, "also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman," say "this woman, "this woman's son died in the night because she laid on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son." Then the other woman, say "the other woman," said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is yours." The first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is mine." Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is dead.' And the other one says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.'" So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son and said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." I want to speak to you this morning for a few minutes. God posed a question, and he did say, "If you love me, then yield." That word "if," that word "if" simply means a condition. It is a stipulation, meaning if you meet a certain requirement, then you'll receive what it is that you're asking for. A condition. If, assuming that, or presuming that you love me, he says, then yield. That word "yield," yield simply meaning to submit, surrender, give way to, move out of the way for someone else, give another direction way, to yield, to relinquish all physical beings to another when I yield. So God says, if you love me, then yield. So there are a couple of things that we need to do in order to yield before Christ this morning. And I'm going to give you a couple of points. And I'm going to focus on verse 26. Verse 26 says, "Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son." God is saying that if we're going to yield, we must be willing to let go of what we love. Let go of what we love. He goes on to say, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." Two women, prostitutes, harlots, from the same size of the track, doing the same thing, not respected in community. But you got two different attitudes. This woman, willing to let go of the very thing that she loves. You know, sometimes we don't want to let go of certain things that we know we shouldn't be hanging on to. Let go of reputations, attitudes, egos. Don't want to let go of our children. We know it's the best thing we need to do. A certain ministry that we just think is ours. A purpose that we've already said belongs to us. Letting it go so the Father can do something with it. But you're hanging on so tight to it because you think it's what you should be doing. But have you asked the Father what it is that you should be doing? So you've got a mother that is willing to let go of the very thing that she loves. We must be willing to let go of those things. A fruit can stay on a tree for a while until it dies. And after so long, when it dies, it can no longer hang on to the branch because it has to let go. You must be willing to let go of the very things that hurt you. You don't want to let those things go. So what is it that keeps us from yielding? What is it? What is the very thing that is keeping you from getting to the very place that our Father in heaven wants us to be? Verse 26. "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other woman says, "Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him." Somebody say pride. This woman had so much pride that she refused to yield for the love of a mother. Now this woman, this is the other woman. Y'all know about that other woman. She causes a lot of problems, the other woman. But this woman and the other woman, two different attitudes. The other woman simply says, "I'm a harlot. I don't have the best of life. I don't have the best of things. But now I have a son. And the very son that I had is no longer living. See, back during that day, having a son would take away the reproach from a woman. Because that was the one thing she needed. She didn't have a good reputation. But having a son gave her some value. It gave her some worth. So she didn't want to lose that pride. I've got something that's added to who I am. Pride. You know, that own sense of dignity. Value. We give our own selves worth when we have a certain amount of pride. And this woman says, I'm not going to risk losing that. I'm not going to lose that. So what does she do? She stands before the king and she lies and says that it wasn't her son that died, that it was the other woman's. Shame. This woman is dealing with shame. She's got a stench in her life. She's already a low person, outcast, doesn't fit in. But she had a son. So now she's done something even worse. She's killed her son in the midst of the night. Not to say that she did it on purpose, but I'm sure it was an accident. But she rolled over on her child and killed him. And she says, oh, what should I do? What should I do? This is the one thing that has given me value. Now I don't have it anymore. So out of desperation, she goes to the other woman's room and takes that woman's child. Because she doesn't want to have to live with that shame. But she's not worried about the other woman who's lost a child. Y'all know anybody like that? Don't want to deal with the shame. So instead of dealing with the shame, go through whatever means necessary. Buy whatever means necessary. She's not a grieving woman. No remorse. She simply goes into the next room and takes this woman's child. Shame. Shame will make you do some things. Make you hide the truth. Anger. Angry. Proverbs 29 and 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. You think she was angry? Think she was prideful? Think she had some shame going on in her life? Yes, she did. How can I stand next to you and you got everything that I want or what I've had? I can't expect you to be happy. I don't want you to be happy. So my pride won't allow me to let you stand in the spotlight. You know anyone like that? Always getting in the way of things. Don't want to see you prosper. The harder you work, seems the harder it begins to move in your life. It doesn't feel like it's moving, but it's someone or something that is in your way. Selfishness. Turn to Galatians 5 and 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts, selfish ambitions. This woman was being selfish. Had her own agendas for what she thought was best for her instead of yielding herself to God. Can we put ourselves aside and put the Father first? Because mind you, they're standing before the king. It may have been a courtroom, but it was judgment day. They had to plead their case before the king. And that day is going to come too, where we're going to have to stand before the king. But what testimonies are you going to give? Two different women, two different attitudes. So what will cause me to yield? Back to 1 Kings 3, 16, verse 26. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. Somebody say love.
Love.
Love will make you do things. Love is simply a tender feeling of desire or want or love for another. When you love someone, you show affection. God's definition says it's a man's reverent devotion for him. That's what love means to him. Love. This woman loved her child so much. She yearned with compassion. To yearn. Yearning means to have an intense feeling of loss and longing for something. That means you have a great desire for something when you yearn for it. And we yearn, we have desires, we have things that we want, we have things that we just insist that we have to have in our lives. But yearning can be a bad thing. Then it can be a good thing. Yearning. See, the problem with yearning is that as you yearn, you tend to want the things that you can't have. And because you can't have those things, the more you long to have them. Yearning, it'll mess you up. And they say love will make you do things. Y'all know the song Love and Happiness? Love will make you do wrong. Love will make you do right. Make you come home early. Make you stay out late at night. Y'all know the song Love and Happiness. Two women, both of them want love of a child. Both of them want happiness. We all want joy. That's where yearning comes in. We have a desire. But this woman yearned with compassion. Compassion. That means she had sorrow or pity for someone else. The misfortune of another. Compassion. The Father has compassion on us. You hate to see the misfortune of someone else. You hate to see somebody in distress. You hate to see somebody struggling. When you have compassion, compassion will make you do something. And this mother wanted to do something for her child. She yearned with compassion. See, what happens is when we refuse to yield to God, God shuts up heaven. Prayers aren't answered, and then he's not pleased. But when you do yield, the heavens open up. Your prayers can be answered, and he is an all-pleased God. Point number two, deny yourself. Deny yourself. 1 Kings 3:22. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Deny. When you deny something, that means you refuse to accept the truth. This other woman refused to accept that her son was no longer living. She simply denied the truth. We deny truths. We're in denial. You know, we deny a lot of things or refuse to accept that that's not your calling. Forcing the issue on something that doesn't need to be forced. That is not the ministry for you. That is not the gift that God said it was supposed to be for you. In denial, searching for the wrong man, in denial. Thinking you're supposed to be somewhere and you're not even supposed to be in that vicinity, in denial. Refused to accept the truth. This woman refused to accept that her son was living. She wanted to get in the way of the happiness of another, denying the happiness of another. Who are we to deny someone else what they deserve? And then there's another definition for deny. Deny means to refrain from satisfying yourself. Deny from satisfying yourself. We satisfy ourselves daily on everything that we want. Anything we want, we go get. But how often is it we deny ourselves of those things that we really don't need? This woman was willing to deny herself of her child so that her child could live. Denying. She lost the very thing she loved. And God says, if you just trust me, if you let go of that very thing and release it to me, then I can bless you with what it is that you desire. So deny yourself. Deny your flesh from being satisfied. You know, we seem to think that we can't live without TV, electronics, games, computers, food, physical addictions, sex addictions, alcohol, drugs. You have to deny yourself in order to receive from the Father. Deny your flesh so that you can get a blessing from the Father. Deny. This woman was willing to deny herself. But God is saying, we also need to get you out of the way. Point number three, get you out of the way. In other words, get out of the way. God is trying to do something in your lives, and yet and still, you're still in the way. You're trying to make your own way. When I want to make a way for you. But if you would just step aside and yield yourself, then just maybe you could see the blessing. But you know, we want to do it ourselves. We think we know what it is we're supposed to be doing instead of yielding to the Father. And he simply says, just get out of the way. See, when you yield, yielding is going to cause you to do three things. Number one, it's going to cause you to pay attention. According to traffic laws, a yield sign says, I need to yield the right of way to someone else. So if I'm driving my car, I come to an intersection or a stoplight. I simply am supposed to come to what you call a brief pause. A brief pause for a moment. That's what a yield sign says. Now, that's traffic law. This is the place where traffic says, I come, yield, and I look in either direction to see if something is coming. This is the same thing that the Father is saying about yielding. He says, this is the place where you come and just pause. You need to look to the left and you need to look to the right to see what's going on. But instead of us yielding, we keep going. The problem is, when we keep going, now we have in our lives havoc. You've caused a crash. Not only have you caused a crash, but you've caused trouble in other people's lives because you refuse to yield when all you had to do was come back here and get some direction. This is the place that God says I can commune with you. This is the place he says, well, I can give you direction to keep you from getting to this place saying, oh, well, I should have stopped back here when all you had to do was stop here. But now you come to the stop sign and you say, oh, why is my life in such a disarray? Why am I having so many problems? Why am I struggling in my life? Well, see, the stop sign is too late. not the place you want to stop. The place you want to pause for just a moment is right here at your yield sign. This is the very place that God says, I can commune with you. Yielding. A place of submission. A place that says the Father can get to the core of your heart and the core of your being so he can help you discern some things. Because if he can help you discern those things, you wouldn't have that havoc down here at this stop sign. All you had to do was stop back here at this yield sign and just pause for just a moment to hear the word of God. See, this yield sign is so important. This yield sign says, I can come here, Father, and commune with you. I don't have to stay here. See, in our busy lives, we seem to think that we have to stay at this yielding place for long periods of time. And we don't have to stay here. But we're so busy. We're so wrapped up in our lives that we don't take a moment to yield to the Father. And he didn't say, come sit here. Yielding, meaning I completely submit to the Father, and I can come and sit and sup with my Father and hear what the Father says to me. A place of yielding. A place where he can talk to you. Because in the midst of the day, you can't hear everything that's going around you. Because you have too much going on in your lives. A place of yielding. And then we often get to this place. We get to the stop sign. And not only have we gotten to this stop sign, and we've decided that havoc has taken place in our lives, we've just said, you know what? I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. I'm just going to get off the exit. That means I've aborted the mission when I get off of the exit. I've aborted what God has said I needed to do when all I had to do was come back here and get his direction. He could have told me what to do right here. He could have warned me of oncoming danger. Traffic laws, so simple. But this is what the Father says. If you just come to this place and hear my voice, then you will know what it is that I desire for you to do. Get out of the way. Get you out of the way so the Father can commune with you. That's all he's asking you to do. He says, yield. If he's posing you a question, assuming that you do, or presuming that you do love me, then why not come to the very place where I can communicate with you? Where I can help you find out what is your real purpose? What is your real destiny? What is the real thing that I desire for you to do? If you love me, he says, then yield. Yielding will make you sensitive. Make you very sensitive to the things that are going around you. Because the more that you yield, the more that you come to this place, the more you can have a discerning spirit. So you become sensitive to everything that's going on around you. Yielding will make you submit to the other direction. You won't mind giving way to someone else if you're in a mind state of yielding. You don't mind doing what the Father says, because if you come here and he tells you to do something, you don't have a problem with that because you have totally submitted yourselves to the Father. See, the most interesting thing about a yield sign is look at the shape of it. Your body becomes a yield sign when you submit to the Father. So all you have to do is lift your hands to the Father and totally surrender. Totally give way to the other direction, which is above you. He says, totally submit. Yield yourselves to me. God is saying, yield yourselves today. Yield. Get yourselves out of the way so that he can do the things that he desires to do in your life. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. It says, for if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren, and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is a gracious and merciful God, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. A condition. He will do these things if, on the condition that you meet these requirements, then he can turn his face upon you, who is the Father. Point number four, submit to his will and say yes. Simply submit to his will. To submit means to give entirely over to abandon yourself completely, meaning take your hands off of yourself and let God put his hands on you to anoint you to do the things that he has called you to do. Take your hands off. Allow him to minister to you. Allow him an opportunity. Submit to his will. Simply say, yes. Yes, Father. Matthew 27, verses 47 through 50. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling on Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Totally gave up, totally surrendered to, abandoned himself for us. He yielded himself up. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. See this yield sign. Another interesting thing about it is it's red and white. Red signifies the blood. White signifies the purity. Jesus, the Lamb, pure Lamb, went to the cross, shed his blood for our sins. He yielded himself, shed his blood, so that you could become clean. Yielding. Yielding ourselves. I was on my way home from work one day, driving my car, and all of a sudden, I felt like my spirit had been snatched from my body. I slowed down, and all I could do was look around. Because I felt like something had been taken from me, like my spirit had been had taken up from itself. And I said, my God, what just happened? Wasn't a hot flash, I'm too young for that. Too young. But I felt God. And this is what he said. He said, my people are going to miss me. He said, don't stand in the midst of me and miss me. And all I could say was, my God. And he took me to this. Okay, he doesn't have it. But he said, yield. If you remember the movie 2012, it's a new movie. And in that movie, the whole world becomes unstable. World is coming to an end. We don't know the day and we don't know the hour. But everything in that movie became unstable. What is it in your life right now that is so unstable that you don't think God can handle? What is it that you're refusing to give up that you don't think God can take away from you? If you simply yield up your spirit to the Father, He can heal you of those things, of the very things that you don't think you can give up. He's saying to yield yourself. You simply let go of what you love. Deny yourself. Get out of the way. Submit to His will and say yes. And then God says, I can do miracles in your life. Will you allow the Father to do miracles in your life? See, at the end of the story, 1 Kings 3:16, verse 27, it says, so the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is the mother. She was willing to do all of those things. And because she was willing to do all of those things, the Father gave her the very thing that she desired. God will give you what you desire if you're willing to yield completely yourself over to Him. Would you yield for Him today? Amen.
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.